We're finally doing it.
We're doing it, dude. We're back.
We're doing it. The gang's
back together, hashing out a podcast.
I got it. What?
It's been a little while.
What were you about to say?
I was just gonna say I got work like later, but I should be good for like an hour.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
All right. Let's get this started. We could talk about anything, dude. We could talk about life stuff. We could talk about movies. A lot to talk about, I feel like.
Should we talk about the space film? Did you guys watch that?
I did.
Yeah, I saw
Stowaway,
it.
Stowaway, right?
Yeah, Stowaway. Yeah.
Stowaway. Okay. Yeah. A lot to talk about for that. But welcome to the Movie Misfits podcast, everybody. It's been a while, but we're back. I'm your host, Eric. Here with me are my co-hosts, John and Ozzy. What's up, you guys?
I am Ozzy. Hello.
This is John, executive producer. How are you doing?
What's up? A lot of crazy stuff happened, like, in the past couple weeks, you know, in the movies and also in our lives. Do you want to talk about it, Ozzy? Like your career change or no? Do you want to keep that private?
I can mention it a little bit. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but
I
essentially made a big, tough decision to turn down a job offer, a really good job offer too, in order to try to pursue film more aggressively and like devote more of my time to it. Because if I accepted this job offer, it would have been like at least a year commitment, but they were looking for someone to stay really long term, like 3 years. I thinking to myself, like I really like the pandemic's kind of made me think a lot about the career path I want to take and everything. So I made the tough decision to turn it down, to focus, and then I'm signing up for acting classes and like
that's awesome.
Acting stuff to like get myself in the acting circuit here. And I'm looking at writing fellowships as well. So I still have the job I currently have now, but the job I currently have now is a little bit more lenient on when I can do things and where.
Dope.
So if I needed to like go to LA or New York or whatever to do something, I could do it with this job, and where the other one I would have been strictly stuck to one location at a 8-to-5 time.
Yeah, you know, that's like playing it safe, and I don't think it is a good opportunity, definitely, but if you're, you know, our age, we can afford to make mistakes and afford to take risks. So like,
yeah.
I think it's a smart decision to follow like what you want to do, and then down the line you can like decide to settle and like get the comfy job. But like right now is like the time to take a risk.
Yeah,
yeah. That's exactly what I was like. I was thinking to myself. I was so stressed about this. Like,
yeah,
dude,
decision.
Yeah. Like, what's it called? Just to the people who are in like the same position as you, like what advice would you give them if they have to like make a decision between doing something very lucrative versus maybe like doing something that they like are more passionate about? Because the people who listen to this are kind of like the same, where they're also trying to pursue film as well.
I honestly think the younger you are, the more you should try to do it rather than waiting. I know money is kind of like an issue, and that's why I didn't really do it right when I left college. Like I had to get a job right away to start paying off my loans and helping my parents out.
Yeah.
Like that. But like John said, like it's good to make mistakes when you're younger now. Like it doesn't really affect your life much when you're younger, I think, than it will when I'm older. Like if I do this when I'm 40 or something, or 50, that's basically like 40 or like, what is it, 20 years of like work not in that area that I'd have to catch up on, and it would just I feel like I would have been super, super behind. I think I'm starting late, by the way, too. I think at my age, I should have started like.
Nah, it's never too late, man.
It's never too late. It's honestly not that late. Like,
no.
I think a lot of people think, dude, just like you think like most people start when they're like 15 and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like something ridiculously young. But in your 20s, it's still like generally most people are also figuring it out. Right.
People are career changing more than ever. Like there's so many different jobs that people go through in their lifetime now. Like back in the day, it was just like, you know, our parents, they would get like a 9-to-5 and then just ride that out for decades. But like nowadays,
at the same company too.
Yeah. At the same company. But nowadays people are job changing all the time. And like the industry knows that as well.
I read something online recently where it said that like a good percentage, I think like an 80% of people decided to reevaluate whether they wanted to change careers because of the pandemic. Like the pandemic really made people think about whether or not they wanted to keep the career that they were having, that they were currently at, or pursue something else. And I think it's really telling.
Yeah,
And it, like honestly, the pandemic for me kind of it did jolt something in me, and kind of like this impending doom.
Yeah, I kind of completely put off doing anything film related because I'm like, if this pandemic is going to be around for a very long time, there's not going to be a lot of opportunities for me, and I just kind of like, wasn't as driven as I used to be. But now I'm like trying to get back into editing more, and you know, I'm working at a news station now, so I'm getting a lot of good experience there.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, you basically have your foot in the door, and I think based on that, like if you stay like at least a year there, I think you can easily pivot to like being an assistant for like a TV show or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely gonna like keep applying to independent film studios and just hope I get added on. You know, A24, working for A24 would be my dream, man.
Really? Oh, nice.
Yeah. Dude, you should just email them.
I will. I'm going to cold email them like once a month or something.
Yeah, ask for an internship or some shit.
And I'll say executive producer of Movie Misfits, and they won't really. That sounds cool. I think I want to talk to this dude.
Yeah.
Dude, okay, this is something that I did in college that like I kind of regret. I remember like my freshman year, I think, and I wanted to get into film and I wanted to learn more and stuff. So I looked up Steven Spielberg's address and I sent him a letter.
Dude, oh, nice.
I don't know whether or not that was a good idea.
No, it was.
But he never responded back to me, right? So, but I sent him a letter saying that I was really interested in like his, like in his movies and stuff like that. Like I want to learn more. And like any advice that he would give me. And I also said, or if there's if I can help out in any way, like I'll even do it for free. Yeah. Like, I didn't even say it that way, but like I try to like word it a little bit more professionally.
Dude, you should.
And I sent the letter to like his work office or anything. So I'm like, whenever I think about that, I kind of cringe. I like, did he actually read it? Like, I hope not.
Like Steven Spielberg might have been a huge long shot, but if you brush off that same strat for like any other director, like lower tier, like maybe television directors or like even Steven Soderbergh or some shit, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's a pretty good idea because like the whole thing is you're not asking him, hey, like fucking hire me. Right, you're like, here, like I'm gonna offer something for you, like I'm gonna offer you value, right? I want to help you out. In exchange, we could have this.
Can I audition maybe, like, for you, please?
Yeah, or something. Just not like, hey, I want something from you, because they're probably super tired of getting that. It's more just like, hey, I want to help you out in whatever you need. You know,
I hope I'm not blacklisted from any.
No, like, dude.
Any like studios or directors saying like,
I wonder how you even found How did you even find their work address? Did you just Google it?
I paid for IMDb Pro.
Ooh,
for like you a month. Just,
like, what you should have done was wrote a fucking bot to scrape all every single contact info of like everyone on IMDb Pro, and then
yeah, dude, you can code that.
Do like an email bot. Fuck it, dude.
I had very little coding experience at that time.
Yeah,
and I was still undecided of whether I wanted to go into acting or CS. And so I was like, maybe this will be the thing. And dude, I was actually really anxious when I sent that. So I'm hoping I didn't write anything. Like, I don't remember exactly what I wrote. So I hope I didn't write anything too stupid.
Dude, that's great. I believe Brett Ratner, rest in peace. He like wrote a letter to Steven Spielberg or George Lucas.
He was in high school, right?
Yeah, something like that. Or in film school. I believe he was in film school asking for like, oh my God, I need money for this camera for my first short film. And then they just like bought it for him.
Oh, shit.
Or something crazy. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, I feel like people like underestimate, you know, because you have to think like if you made it, if you were Steven Spielberg, you would want to help up and coming young directors too, right? Like,
yeah.
And you would want to mentor people as well. You would want to like pass the knowledge on, you know? Like, I just feel like you had the right idea. You should just like ask more people, you know? Because it's crazy now because it didn't amount to anything. But what if he actually like responded and was like, hey, why don't you come act in Indiana Jones 5? You know?
Oh.
Why don't you play Shia LaBeouf's son or some shit, you know?
Shia LaBeouf's son?
Like,
dude, I don't think they're gonna fucking retcon that shit.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf is not gonna be in this anymore. I don't think. Right? I don't think.
Damn,
so.
Dude.
I'm surprised they'll even get Harrison Ford on board. I feel like he's done with that shit.
Dude, sometimes I wonder if Harrison Ford even wants to. Like,
he's just phoning it in at this point. I feel like,
just retire, man. If you don't want to act anymore, yeah. It's all good.
Didn't he? Oh. Wait. Didn't he? Wait. Before we move on from that.
Yeah.
Wasn't he like? He was like a carpenter or like a wood guy working at Lucas
on Star Wars. Yeah.
No, he was working at what's his name? Lucas.
Lucasfilm.
No, what's the guy's name? George Lucas. Sorry,
George Lucas.
He was working at his house.
What?
Like, doing some like carpenter.
Yeah, he's like a professional carpenter. Yeah.
He was doing some of that at George Lucas's house.
He's a handyman.
And George Lucas was like, "Do you just want to be in this movie?" Because like everyone else who like they auditioned. Didn't like meet what George Lucas was like looking for.
Wow.
And apparently he just like lucked into acting basically.
Wow. That's awesome.
Which is insane. Like, why not me? No.
He's actually
the biggest opportunity to like come out of nowhere, I swear.
But also, he's got like intrinsic talent too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's not like, you know what, that's kind of crazy that happened because I think he's also just a pretty good actor too. But yeah, dude, you should just start like taking the carpenter jobs, man. And start like working on directors' houses and shit.
Yeah.
Wait, are you still like, I sent you guys the Disney thing. Would you guys do that? It's just like two pilots you have to write.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
I'd be down.
Yeah. They pay you. So it's like you're pretty much going to film school.
How much do they pay you?
It's not much. It's like 50 grand a year.
Whoa.
Like about a thousand a week or so. And then you live in like LA.
That's like a fourth of what I make now.
Yeah. It's especially joking. In LA, it doesn't go far. So you.
Yeah, in LA, that would be rough.
You pretty much probably have to live with the roommates and stuff and like scrounge by, but. Dude, still pretty good. Like, you might get like mentored by writers at Disney and stuff, and then you don't like get guaranteed staffing, but they'll consider you to write for Disney shows and stuff.
That'd be great, dude. Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking into that. They said that they needed whatever that was turned in to be within the Disney brand or fit one of the Disney brands.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to come up with like an idea that would fit, because I think some of the ones that I have aren't really that Disney friendly.
I got an idea. Let's
go.
Let's all write like an essay, or not an essay, but just like an email that's really well crafted, really well thought out, and like it's not like a robot typed it. It's like a very human email, and we send it out to like 100 different studios, and we each have like basically the same thing written down, but it's just like we change it up so that it doesn't look exactly the same, and then we just. That would be 300 chances, right, between us. And then if one person gets their foot in the door, then you like, you try to get the rest of us in or something, you know?
Yes, that's
I feel like there has to be at least one person that's like willing to at least make an interview, right? Like, why not? Yeah. Why not? Dude, Let's do it.
I'm completely on board. Like, I think I was talking to the manager I used to work for who's like managing like these really huge directors and stuff. And he was basically like, anyone can fucking do my job. All it takes is like a phone or like internet. And all you do is like email everyone asking them, hey, like I have this thing, or I have like this director or writer that I'm representing. Like, would you like to work with him?
Yeah.
And then they go, no. And it's like, all right, next. I have this writer director. Do you want to work with him? And then you just do that to like 1,000 people. And then eventually you'll get some yeses, you'll get some maybes, and then your name will get out there. So I think, like, dude, that's definitely doable, dude.
Do it, man.
I'm telling
Let's
you.
Do it.
Like, we should do it.
Hell yeah.
We should do it.
All right. Well, we got that established.
All right. After this, we're sending 1,000 emails each. Okay, boys.
We get blacklisted in all of Hollywood. All of Hollywood has our like names on the walls. Like,
we'll make a new email address.
Old Hollywood, not New Hollywood.
Yeah. New Hollywood, we're still in good graces with.
We could even like mention this podcast in the email, and then they could check it out. And...
No, they can't. No.
Oh no. Dude, okay.
No. We've incriminated ourselves too much.
Bail out.
I was actually thinking. Ozzy, if you like applied to the Disney thing and got accepted, I think we should delete all the episodes. Dude, people have gotten like retconned. Like, this guy was accepted to SNL. I think this guy like auditioned and then he got it. And then like a clip from his podcast came out and then they fired his ass.
They would do anything to dig up dirt on people, I swear. People will just scour through your entire Facebook wall and like. Every single thing you put online, people can find.
Yeah, they're gonna be hey, what did you think of Promising Young Woman? You didn't fucking love it. You thought it had problems.
Cancel. Right,
get this guy out of here.
I legit like think that's gonna come back to haunt me too.
We're nuking that episode first. But
I'm just gonna bleep that entire thing. So
yeah, we're not even gonna address that, dude. We love that movie. You know?
I love it. It's so powerful.
Like, I just have one little itsy bitsy teeny weeny
Get him off set. Get him off set.
It's perfect. It's the perfect film.
But I thought I liked it. All right.
But we saw this movie, Stowaway, on Netflix.
Yep. Yeah.
Sci-fi film, kind of like a bottle episode or a bottle film, where it's kind of like a play, sort of. What did you guys think of it?
I really liked it.
Whose pick was it? Yours?
I think it was Mike.
I think it was Eric's. Yeah.
Okay. John, sorry, you said you liked it?
I liked it a lot. The first viewing, I was kind of like, you know, it was okay. It was not too bad. But then, like later on, like from the intro, I was kind of like, this seems kind of low budget. And it is, I think, a low budget film, but like, after the intro, I was hooked from when you initially like see the stowaway and you see that you learn that they're running out of oxygen and they don't have enough oxygen for everyone on board. That's when I was on board with the movie. I was like, okay, this is a really cool conflict, because like there's a philosophical debate I remember learning in Philosophy 101 where it's just like, if you are looking at train tracks and you see four people tied down on the train tracks and there's a train coming, you can save those four people, but then you'd have to change the tracks to another track which has two people. So you'd be like sacrificing two for four, and then in this case they're sacrificing one for you know, the whole crew. And I just really like that kind of philosophical debate, and they're kind of like jumping immediately to needing to kill him, but then Anna Kendrick is just like trying to her best to be hopeful and try to find a way out of the situation, and then what they end up doing is going to risk the lives of everyone just to save one person. So that's kind of like a really unique flip on the script for that, you know, that philosophical debate, and that's why I really love the movie. But I could see why someone would be easily bored by there not being a lot going on, because like for I think 25% or 30% of the film is like action-packed where it's like heart racing, but then the rest is kind of just like pondering and thinking and crying and being emotional and just having empathy for human beings. But like, yeah, so if you wanted to see an action film in space, this is not it. But
yeah,
I really liked it, and I saw it a second time. My second viewing, I liked it a lot more. What'd you guys think?
I think I'm in that I found it boring route.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's fair. we got conflicts of opinion here. Let's hear it.
Yeah,
I thought most people thought of it.
I thought the moral dilemma was interesting. It seemed like Anna Kendrick's character was the only one that really cared about like what happened. Like the other two were kind of like, yeah, we got to kill this guy. But I don't know, like the entire time I was just like they were trying to make me feel like emotional towards this guy who they were going to kill. I felt like it was a shitty situation and stuff like that, but I don't know. I just didn't, like, it didn't grab me. It didn't catch me. It didn't get me in the feels as much as I would think that a situation like that would. They never showed the sister, which I think would have done, like, I think would have helped seeing that interaction. I think they were trying to make it seem like a better, like a bigger deal for him to like them having to kill him, knowing that he has someone he has to take care of, but without showing that person, I think that just didn't land for me.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, like, it seemed like a lot of filler. And it didn't hold my attention all that much. Not even the ending with like the action-y stuff didn't really hold my attention all that much.
Yeah, I will admit it's a very slow film, and like I agree with you with the character development for that guy that's a stowaway. It was pretty bad. They really needed to do a better job of just like showing you his sister, and like I would appreciate some, like, I don't know, just like a picture or something of her, you know?
Yeah, I think that would have really helped. Like, I think because he was video chatting with her, I think. But we didn't see her, we didn't hear her, we just saw him looking at like the screen. And I think that would have really helped. But by the time when we found out that the oxygen was that moral dilemma of like they're not all gonna survive, which first of all, I find it very strange that three people would go off into space in an aircraft that could only support them, and like if anything else happened, like they were fucked basically. Like they didn't, like it seemed like they were very unprepared.
Problem,
I understand, like, the two people thing, but still I felt like if they're gonna do like a trip to Mars, they would have been a little bit more prepared. Like, I think that watching other space movies like The Martian kind of ruins this one as well for me. But
Well, the problem was with the O2, there was like they damaged something. The stowaway damaged the CO2 like cycler or something, and that is what the main issue was with the oxygen.
Oh, I must have missed that. Maybe I like dozed off.
It might have been too boring to pay attention to, unfortunately.
When you like fell down.
Yeah.
In the very beginning,
he broke something.
He broke Tony Collette's arm and also the oxygen converter thing.
Yeah, he did break her arm. How is she going to do Hereditary 2 now?
Yeah. Dude, she was really good in this. I gotta say, the performances were... I was pretty much just like focused on the acting, because I thought the acting was all around pretty solid by Tony Collette, Anna Kendrick, Daniel Day Kim, and this guy Shamir Anderson. Like, he was really good too. I do think that, like, dude, for some reason people take space movies very seriously. Like, this movie took itself super seriously, so that in that way I kind of understand, but dude, you can like have suspension of your disbelief for like Mortal Kombat or like Godzilla versus Kong, but like if something is like weird in a space movie, everyone's just like, what the fuck, this is so unrealistic. Doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it's just that like this got terrible reviews by like audiences. It's really? Like 5.6 on IMDb, which I don't think it's that bad.
No,
like,
it's not.
I think it's got like issues and stuff, but
yeah, I don't think it's a lot of good shit. Either.
There's a lot of good shit in the film, but it seems like I kind of understand. Like, I was reading the complaints people were saying, like, "Oh, how is it even possible that this guy would be in there in the first place? Just like stowed away."
It makes sense at all. He that explained that really poorly.
Doesn't make sense. But you're supposed to like have some suspension of disbelief for that moment, just because if you don't believe that, then, like, the whole movie falls apart, right?
Yeah, you kind of just got to accept it from the get-go.
Yeah, and then not everyone... I feel like everyone acts very logically up until the very end. When Anna Kendrick decides to be the one to sacrifice herself, because, like...
Yeah, that was kind of questionable.
I did, at that point,
it should have been Daniel Day Kim, because, like, he... Basically, his research was already all wasted, right? And like he served no purpose for the mission because all the algae died. And at that point, it's like, I'd rather have the doctor than this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But she had the cojones to do it.
Yeah, dude. That you know what really annoyed me though is like how useless the stowaway was. Like, legit pissed me off so much because he couldn't even like save his own life. He couldn't be useful like when they needed him the most. He couldn't climb the thing. I think he was like purposely fucking up and like being like, oh my god, I'm so incompetent, you guys have to risk your lives for me, because like he wasn't able to just do the grappling hook thing and made like the other two people do it for him, and also wasn't willing to take one for the team and just off himself.
I could see his motivation.
I can understand.
Like he wanted to be with his sister, who's like he's like last family member.
Yeah, dude, but like I get it. I probably would do the same thing.
Yeah.
But it seemed like that's why I found the movie more interesting than boring, because I was like wondering what would actually happen, and I think it kind of plays out the same way. Like, people generally act in their own self-interest, especially this guy who wasn't prepared for the mission. Like, I think generally everyone else is willing to die for the mission except him, because he wasn't really like prepped for it or anything. So that made sense. But I don't know. I liked it because I thought it was generally like more logical than I expected. how things played out for the most part, and the conversations they had and the performances were really good.
Yeah, no, I can agree on the performances part. The like going back to what you said about suspension of disbelief, I think it's how the movie, either movie, like how they initially set things up. Like, I feel like this movie initially set it up as being like this realistic space exploration movie. And so that immediately kind of throws my mind in, okay, this is realistic. This is going to be, but like, if I'm watching like Star Trek and I immediately see aliens and I immediately see like your light speed or like see all this futuristic shit, like they're automatically setting up this like fantasy world. And so my suspension of disbelief kind of goes out like the window. So I feel like it's very much the beginning introduction to the movie in terms of like how it makes me feel about how realistic it is. Because like The Martian, I feel like was very sci-fi.
Yeah, that was really well done.
The way they portrayed everything, they portrayed it like it was real. Like it was all realistic and stuff like that. Where this movie, I felt, tried to do the same. So they had to abide by the same logics, kind of, as realism. Excuse me, I had to burp. Or at least find a good way to explain realistically how things could have been done. I didn't think it was like terrible. Like I enjoyed a lot of the conversations that the actors had with each other. Like I thought, like the dilemma I thought was really, really interesting. I had no idea what this movie was going to be about. I didn't watch any trailers. I legit when I first started watching it, the only thing that I knew from it was the title and the picture of Anna Kendrick going up. And I legit, like, because of the title, I thought it was going to be like a thriller movie where the stowaway is like some guy that's actively fucking things up on the ship.
Yeah.
Either trying to kill the crew or trying to do harm to the crew or whatever, or something like that. Like, but I like that they went in a more philosophical route. And I do agree that I don't think Anna Kendrick should have been the one to have died at the end, to make the sacrifice, especially since she is a doctor, right? So she's like, ideally, she's like very needed. Yeah, like thinking about it logically, like it's awful if someone has to die to like save everyone else, right? Like that's a tough decision to make. But
maybe that says something about doctors.
Doctors
are compassionate and empathetic more than most, I would think.
I guess it says something a lot about her character and that she values life.
So it makes sense for her character to do it.
But like, I agree, Eric, that logically, what's his name? Fuck, I can't think of it.
Daniel Day Kim.
Yes.
Last name of the movie is Kim. Also,
he was a botanist, right?
Yeah, he was just there for like, I don't know, for like research on Mars. Yeah. But all his research was like destroyed.
So logically, he would have been the logical choice. I think even the stowaway had engineering experience, right?
Yeah, which he needed to demonstrate a little bit of it.
I agree. I did not think he was very capable of anything, especially when he was like trying to help out. He didn't really do much. And then he was laughing in a lot of places. His character did not devote the amount of knowledge that they told me he had.
Yeah.
Like he was getting his PhD also to be an astronaut or something. So,
mm-hmm.
All in all, I thought it was an okay film. I was kind of bored. I didn't felt very interested in like a lot of the story and plot points towards the end, but I did like the acting and the dialogue, but like the characters' interactions. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for everyone. I think you have to sort of have patience, and if you want to see it, just like go in knowing that it's going to be more like a play than like a crazy
movie with aliens or anything like that. Yeah. Spoiler alert, no aliens.
No aliens.
It's gonna be, it's just gonna be straight space.
Dude, yeah. I was hoping the stowaway was gonna be an alien. Man.
I thought he was gonna be like sick. A serial killer and just start killing everyone.
Honestly, they were. I feel like with the music, they were sort of like hinting that he was unhinged or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was gonna be the case stuff. Too. I thought because
the music was like, it was like The Shining or some shit. They were
bomb, 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 bomb.
When he hit his head, he was gonna have like mental problems.
And yeah, like, he's gonna
pass out. He was gonna like, but yeah, he was gonna fuck people up.
I want to read that script.
Like yeah, but then it would be pretty simple. Version. It would just be like, all right, let's just fucking kill this guy. And, that's true. Get on with this fucking mission.
That's true.
What if he? No,
that might have been the more interesting movie, honestly.
Probably,
or more like honestly. Wide appeal.
Yeah, yeah. What would you guys give it out of 10?
7.5. I liked it. I liked it a decent amount.
I think I would give it a 7. Yeah.
I'm giving it an 8.
Let's go.
Nice.
8 out of
Stowaway.
10.
Glowing reviews from the Misfits, but not so much everyone else.
I'm a sucker for space films, so like I really wanted to see this, and I watched it again.
I generally don't think it's a bad movie. I feel like it would be hard to recommend it to like a wide range of people.
Yeah.
I also like, I don't know, like I tend to, because I know how hard it is to make films. Like I hate I generally don't like shitting on a movie, even if it's, except if it's a Thunder Force.
Hey man, dude, people worked on that film for years, bro. Like the cast,
years.
And the cast and the crew did fine. I'm not so happy with the other stuff. not the cast. Not the crew.
McCarthy.
McCarthy, yeah. I'm a little upset with her. But people watched it, so I wouldn't be surprised if they make a sequel.
Dude, I have a feeling that like the more entrenched in film you are, like the harder it is to criticize something because you know what it's like to fucking just work on something and then it not end up being good. I was listening to like a screenwriting podcast and the people were actually like defending the Game of Thrones guys, even though people were like pretty much all across the board shitting on them, they were like defending them.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of have a point, man. It's a hard job, dude. Even if we criticize something, just let's get this clear, dude. Utmost respect.
Very much. Very much
like,
so.
Any filmmaker out there doing it. It's like the Teddy Roosevelt quote. It's like the man in the arena is better than pretty much anyone talking shit. Because they're the one actually fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the ones actually in the arena doing something.
Have you guys seen Borg versus
McEnroe?
McEnroe versus Borg or Borg versus
The Shia LaBeouf film?
Yeah.
I haven't, but I heard it's good. Did you see it?
Yeah, I like it.
I like a good sports movie.
It's like an indie movie, but like it gets into the psyche of McEnroe.
Is that the tennis one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did see that. It was a while back. But I saw that.
He was getting interviewed, like in the movie. He's getting interviewed, and they were like, "Why can't you?" Like they were criticizing him a lot, and he just bursts out into like, "Have you played tennis or like whatever?" And he just goes like, it all ends with him going. He's saying something like none of you get how hard I work because none of you actually do it.
Yeah.
Like I put everything I have on the field and none of you understand that like because you don't do it. And I don't know, like I feel that like that's kind of true of like a lot of things. Like once you know how hard it is to get there, it's kind of hard to like just talk criticize badly on it.
I'm pretty sure you will never see you'll very rarely see a filmmaker shit on any other filmmaker or like an actor slag off like another actor, you know?
Yeah.
Because you try to find the good things in their work so that you can like learn together. If you're like trying to move up with your craft and get better, I feel like you should just try to find the positives in everyone's work.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, you can critique. I think it's good to critique people and just tell them what you didn't find great about it. But then you should also, you know, it's like a shit sandwich. You gotta, because like people can't completely mess it up. Like they have creative power to make something from their own expression. And I think that no matter what you make, there's going to be some value to it. But, you know, you kind of have to, sometimes you have to dig around for the flower in a field of shit. But, you know, more people are talented more than others, but I think that everyone can make something positive.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I don't know. It's like fine to criticize. It's like completely okay, but
yeah,
it's definitely harder to actually make stuff. Like, just get that out of the
hours
way.
And
like,
hours and hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's super easy to criticize, and also it's like important to criticize too. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's like the harder thing to do to actually make shit and like put yourself out there and have everyone talk shit to you if you like mess up.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I wasn't like talking shit about being a critic or anything like that. I think they're necessary, but I think if you're a critic who, if you're someone criticizing a work that you yourself have done before, you tend to be a little bit more lenient on it because you know how hard it was to actually do it. And you know that mistakes can happen and that stuff doesn't always come out the way originally intended. So.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's, one thing before we move off the subject, I do hate critics who literally only shit on movies. Like every single review they do, it's only like, I hated this because of this. Like I've seen some YouTube critics who like literally, I don't think have a good thing to say about any film at all. And I'm just like wondering, like, why are you in this field then? Like,
they're just nitpicking.
Exactly. Like you don't like anything. You're just
criticizing to make things better, not just to shit on them. But yeah, I don't know. That's it. That's a little 2 cents.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. Like, as a director, you have to listen to criticism, but then you also have to tune out the criticism that is just basically a personal attack on you and your work. And just like, because I'm sure a lot of directors get that from, you know, their peers just being like, that movie was terrible. But I think that with the more higher up you go, I think there's a lot of yes men surrounding you. So
yeah.
That probably doesn't happen as much. Everyone's just like, oh my God, everything you do is amazing. So you have to like tune that out as well. It's a lot of just like intuition, I think, but criticism is really important and it's a part of the director's intuition to decide.
Stars, which criticism is like, stars?
That's true, dude.
No one ever criticizes us. Yeah. We'll be media platforms if you do not give 5 stars. That being said, we love criticism. We want to hear your criticism.
We will find you and we will go to your house and we will slap the shirt.
True. We will take you. Taken 5.
Movie news. Any movie news, people?
I have something.
Go for it.
So, did you hear what's happening with HBO Max?
with What's Discovery, called? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand the full thing. I think Discovery is getting like 30%, and then AT&T is sticking with 70%. But Discovery owns like the controlling rights to do whatever they want for now.
Yeah.
So maybe like the reviewer I saw that was talking about this said that they assumed that AT&T wants to sell Warner Media because they don't like the that business. They think it's failing. Well, it is failing. But they don't want to be in that business anymore because it's not producing them anything.
Dude,
any like profit, so I want to sell it off, and to who? Like,
I disagree.
Really? Ooh,
I disagree, dude. Basically, they bought Warner Brothers, right, for a shit ton of money, and I think they're selling it. If this deal goes through, which it probably will, they're selling it for less than they bought it. So they're basically taking an L and being like, we just want to get rid of this because we want to just focus on like telecom and stuff because they're a phone company,
right?
But dude, I think they could actually grow it, like if they worked on it or if they knew what they were doing. I don't think they do, which is why they're probably selling it, but like think of all the shit AT or Warner Brothers has. They have like Looney Tunes, Harry Potter, I believe. Do they have Harry Potter? Yeah, they have Harry Potter. Yeah,
but they don't have the streaming rights to that yet.
DC. The thing is, they could like actually. I was like, dude, Warner Brothers or HBO Max, they're gonna be third or like top three in the streaming wars, right?
You think?
Now I have no fucking clue, dude. With this merger, it's like, guys, what's like a big Discovery IP? Name the biggest Discovery IP that you can.
Biggest Discovery IP.
Food Network. I don't know.
It's like 90 Day Fiance. It's like fucking.
It's reality TV for sure.
Yeah, TLC, HGTV, Discovery Channel. That's like good. It's like fine, but it's kind of like dying, you know.
Definitely.
So yeah. I'm kind of feeling a little iffy on that. But should we? Wait, you gotta leave soon, right? Should we wrap up?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
All right.
But is it my choice for a movie?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say or is it Ozzy's choice?
No, I think it's yours because it goes Eric, you, me, right?
Yeah, I think it's yours. It. Okay.
If it's not, I'll take two choices.
Let's watch the new Zack Snyder movie. I feel like I'm not gonna Army like the it.
Dead. Ooh, yeah. Dude, I'm excited for that. I feel it's like it's gonna out, be like
a yeah. So let's watch that. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm pretty hyped to see that.
All right.
Yeah, I think
it's out in theaters. Yeah, I might check it in theaters. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, cool.
John's got to go to work, but this was a good episode. Grinding. Good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Movie Misfits.
Our schedule is going to change a little
bit
in the coming weeks because all our lives are kind of changing. So just a heads up that episodes may come out either Friday or Mondays, depending on
when.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be rocky waters, but, you know.
We'll get through it.
We should only get through it.
For updates, make sure to follow us on TikTok, Twitter. And we'll post updates on when we're going to post. Yeah.
Spotify, right?
Spotify is just the go-to. Then we'll see if the episode's out or not.
But I'm going to try to keep up with the Twitter thing to like just say whether an episode will be out on Friday or Monday or whatever.
Okay.
That's good. I think we're just Movie Misfits Podcast on Twitter.
Tell all your friends.
It's in the link description, so you'll find it.
Tell all your friends so we can make the top charts on Spotify.
Oh, it's just Movie Misfits actually. Yeah, exactly.
We got to make Billboard 100 on Spotify. We
need to make Billboard 100. we're going for the
Grammy. We're going to go platinum, dude, on podcasts.
Yeah.
Grammy should have podcasts, and we should win the first one.
That's true, dude. That's true.
There's going to be podcast awards, I bet.
no joke.
There are podcast awards.
Right.
There's like a big podcast on TikTok that got nominated for like best podcast, best Damn. Movie podcast for the Oscars.
Yikes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Competition.
Wasn't us, but maybe one day, dude.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys.
All right. Let this guy go. All right. See you guys next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Peace.